You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd, and you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome.
Please don't just come here today and then go home. Go to the Hill today. Get up and please get up in the face of some Congress people.
February 12, 2021, a collection of the sound bites from Democrats, and now the Republicans are going to start making them in the Trump defense of the impeachment, make the Democrats eat their own words. Good. You were hearing there Senator Schumer. That was when he was on the steps of the Supreme Court shouting out to the crowd. And, of course, they could not hear him inside the Supreme Court. But if they could, he was shouting out, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, you will reap the whirlwind. Something of that effect. Maxine Waters, Congresswoman Waters, telling a mob of people gathered around her, get in the face of anyone you see with the Trump administration. Tell them they're not welcome here. Chase them out, basically. And Senator Cory Booker, speaking at a conference on ending homelessness, said, go to Capitol Hill. Get in the face of legislators. Every one of those and more are very similar to what Donald Trump said on January 6th to his crowd. Fight. Fight. What's the difference? Oh, the difference is Donald Trump said that. And the Democrats have a right to say what they want. Trump can't. Well, we're going to get this hypocrisy exposed. It's not going to mean much. We already know about it. The Democrats know they're guilty of it, but they can still act like, no, it's okay on our side. The legal team for former President Trump, with their opening remarks today, and they're pointing out the exact thing I just said. The idea is that the Democrats have used that kind of word all the time, any kind of words like that. Trump lawyer David Schoen said, they have built a false dichotomy here. Either you condemn what he said and find him guilty, or there's no middle ground. There's no possibility of thinking what he said maybe was inappropriate. Most of the times during the case, when you heard the word fight, it's clear he's talking about legislators fighting for our rights, people fighting to advocate. Everyone likes to overlook the word peacefully in here. And remember, he did use those words, an eight-second clip. Go to the Capitol in peace, do your patriotic duty, no violence. But that never got played during the Democrat House management presentation to the Senate as to why Trump should be convicted. And you know why? Because they're not interested in all facts, just the facts that fit their case. Beyond that, we don't need no stinking facts. Speaking of stinking facts that are causing a big stink, New York Governor Cuomo in much bigger trouble. More information about the nursing home cover-up. And a member of his staff acknowledging, we put out some false numbers. And now trying to walk it back. And there are already calls, not just from Republicans in New York State, but Democrats, to go after Cuomo. An investigation. We're talking about a criminal investigation. Or certainly recall him. Put up a petition to get him removed as governor. So how did the mainstream media, in particular CNN and NN, handle that story? Silence. Look for something else. Iran could be this close to having a nuclear weapon, this close. And Fred Flights, President of Center for Security Policy, would join us with details. And China and Biden, how much is Biden owing China at this point? What's going to happen to that relationship and the national security when we move forward? And also today, Dr. Rick Lehman, orthopedic surgeon with the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, has out a book parents want to see and hear about, How to Raise an Athlete. Got some good, interesting information coming direct from a surgeon who operates on pro players all the time. So we've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Get your audience ready now. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The problem with lies is that they fall apart. They always fall apart. The truth always comes out. And the truth of today is that there is no amount of lawyering in the world, even if it had been good, which it wasn't, no amount of lawyering in the world that can ever gloss over what the president and that mob did.
Oh, my gosh, he almost had me sucked in. That CNN, Don Lemon Fruitcake. And he was saying the problem with lies is they always fall apart. The truth always comes out. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, he's talking about Andrew Cuomo. Don Lemon's program follows Cuomo's brother's program on CNN, Chris Cuomo. And here's Don Lemon saying the problem with lies is they always fall apart. But I was wrong. He was not speaking about Chris Cuomo, nor New York Governor Cuomo, nor the lies out of New York about COVID and nursing home patients. He was talking about the impeachment of Trump. I got it. We may try it again here in a minute, but I will tell you, if we stop it early, it will sound, you could apply it to this, because it certainly would apply. Cuomo, of course, Governor Cuomo, had issued an order back in March of this year, or last year, I should say, telling nursing homes you have to accept COVID-positive patients. You have to take them in. If you have them, you've got to keep them. And in fact, the new stats, and these numbers are changing. I'm giving you the latest we have now. They're now saying more than 9,000 recovering coronavirus patients in New York State were released from hospitals, placed in nursing homes under that directive by New York Cuomo, which later he scrapped. These records, pardon me, these records of the 9,000 are from the AP. They're doing an additional investigation. That's 40% higher than what the state health department had previously released. Now, last week we were told, yeah, the numbers had not been properly reported. It's been kind of a mix-up. We don't really know. Well, the attorney general of New York was saying, I think we need to get to the bottom of this. Now, keep in mind, the Cuomo administration on March 25, that directive barred nursing homes from refusing people just because they had COVID-19. And the governor says, well, we had to free up space in hospitals swamped in the early days. So we just told the nursing homes to take them. We knew even that early, the most vulnerable were the elderly. And yet he told the nursing homes, you have to take them. And they were put in there, basically given a death sentence. He might have as well said, we're putting them on death row, only they're not going to last as long as the death row appeals normally do. And now the AP pointing out how bad the numbers have been and so forth. Now, Cuomo reversed the directive May 10, and of course got busy on a book that he released in October, Leadership of the COVID Crisis. He got an Emmy. He got an Emmy because he was holding these news conferences every day on how things were going in New York State and how he was handling it. And many people were praising him, especially the mainstream media. They were jumping all over him. Last night, after new information broke, you try to find it. You just try to find it. A top Cuomo aide in a phone conversation with leading Democrat lawmakers of New York State said, well, we withheld data on COVID-19 deaths at nursing homes to avoid federal scrutiny. That's according to a report in the New York Post. Flat out admitting we withheld it to avoid federal scrutiny. And, of course, now we continue to see additional changes. Now a top aide to Cuomo, who made that statement, trying to walk it back a bit, trying to back off of the remarks. Melissa DeRosa, Secretary of the Governor, told leading New York State Democrats that the administration feared the data could be used against us by the Justice Department. She made that statement in a video conference call. The DOJ did begin investigating nursing home coronavirus deaths in four states back in August. New York was one of them. And she told Democrat operatives in New York State, we were in a position where we weren't sure of what we were giving to the Department of Justice or what we give to you guys, what we start saying was going to be used against us while we weren't sure if there was going to be an investigation. You want the bottom line? The bottom line is they were afraid it would get to the Trump administration and it would be a big, big deal, which it should have been. But they hid it. They kept it a lie. Newly elected Congresswoman Tenney, newly sworn in. Remember, she's the one that had to battle repeatedly to win her seat, the 22nd Congressional District of New York. New York Congresswoman now, Claudia Tenney, a Republican, said, even when I was serving as a state representative in the state assembly, I was pushing for more questions to be answered.
I've called for Governor Cuomo's resignation. I think this is probably going to look like criminal behavior. This is now the cover-up, but I called for this. The governor's investigation, I said, AG Barr back in April, actually my first call was April and May. I called for an investigation. The inspector general needed to go in and force the counting of these deaths. And the reason why you would put COVID-positive patients in a nursing home with the most vulnerable people in our communities.
But good question, right? Very good question. And the question still exists, and especially now that the secretary to the governor, in talking to Democrat operatives only, said, yeah, we withheld it because we weren't sure that if it might be used against us. We were comprehensive, she adds, and transparent in our responses to the DOJ, and then had to immediately focus our resources on the second wave and vaccine rollout. So that's how she's trying to walk it back, saying, I'm trying to clarify what we did. We were still comprehensive and transparent. You were not, according to what you told your Democrat operatives when you thought it's just between all of you guys. Well, again, Congresswoman Tenney says, we cannot let this simply slide.
I was alerted to it early in March when I realized it was happening and everyone was in shutdown. I appeared on a few radio and TV shows discussing this, and the governor and everyone just completely ignored this. And the governor just, you know, has so much power in New York. I think actually the governor, you know, just to do a service to New York State, should resign. If we had a recall statute like they do in California, yeah. I think he would probably face recall. He really needs to be replaced. This is actually just more typical behavior from Andrew Cuomo. He's been a lawless, really terrible governor, just exerting his power. It's been an abuse of power for the last 10 or 11 years he's served as our governor.
Well, of course, that is, again, a Republican congresswoman, newly elected, Congressional District 22 in New York State. But she had served as a member of the state assembly prior to getting that congressional win. But she's saying, yeah, well, I think we should start a recall and he'd probably be out of here. Well, of course, you can say, well, that's just expected of a Republican to make a statement like that. And other Republicans are making similar statements, obviously. But you also have some Democrats that are beginning to feel the heat. They're trying to scurry around, trying to figure out where do we go, where do we find cover. Again, as the New York Post documented, apparently, Melissa DeRosa, secretary to Governor Cuomo, in a phone call with the New York Democrat lawmakers, admitted the Cuomo administration feared the data, the true data about COVID-19 deaths in nursing homes could, quote, be used against us. Does that not sound like they're trying to cover up something? Of course it does. There's no other way to look at it. But you've got a senior Cuomo advisor, Rich Azzopardi, I guess. I might be wrong on the name, not trying to butcher it. But basically, he is placing, guess what? Stand by, you don't know how big this is going to get. He's placing some of the blame now on the Trump administration. He said, we explained the Trump administration was in the midst of a politically motivated effort to blame Democrat states for COVID deaths. And we were cooperating with federal document productions. That was a priority. And now that's over, we can address the state legislature. So he's also saying, we were doing what we're supposed to, but they weren't. They were not. And don't forget you had deaths inside. One of those, or two of the deaths, actually involved a Fox senior meteorologist, Janice Dean. Remember her talking about she couldn't get in to see her parents? They were in a nursing home. She couldn't get access to see them in their closing days. Do you remember her remarks?
My in-laws would have celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary yesterday. Oh. We no longer have them with us. We didn't have a wake or a funeral. We did not see them before they died. We could not hug them. We could not touch them. And to this day, relatives can't see their loved ones in the nursing homes. And it's atrocious. And this governor deserves to be punished to the full extent of the law.
Yes, he certainly does, and everyone around him. And, of course, it should be really big coverage, shouldn't it? I mean, did we not see the mainstream media, in particular CNN, NNN, and MSNBC, and all the rest of those yokels lining up, attacking Trump every day? He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't understand. He's not giving us the truth. And this is sitting right in front of them now. So, again, let me ask you this. Riddle me this. How much coverage do you think CNN and MSNBC gave last night to New York Governor Cuomo and this scandal involving the nursing homes? Under reporting, again, the New York Associated Press saying more than 9,000 recovering coronavirus patients in New York State were released from hospitals into nursing homes under the directive Cuomo had ordered. And we've been told the death count is probably 50% underreported. So how much time do you think CNN and MSNBC gave on that story last night? Even after Cuomo aide had been caught telling state Democrat lawmakers, yeah, we withheld information to avoid federal scrutiny? Well, I'm looking at a report here. The source is Fox News. I always want to try to give you the source. And they say a search of transcripts found that the words nursing homes and Andrew Cuomo were not uttered, not once, last night during the prime time hours of 8 to 11 p.m. on CNN or MSNBC. On CNN or MSNBC, they did not even give the story once. Let's pick up Don Lemon's remarks, how we began this with, but we're going to stop it a little early, and then I want you to put it in context. Here's Don Lemon talking about lies.
The problem with lies is that they fall apart. They always fall apart. The truth always comes out.
Ah, yes, it always comes out. Why wasn't Don Lemon, who made that powerful remark regarding Donald Trump, why wasn't he on this story last night? Why wasn't the program ahead of him, Chris Cuomo's program, dealing with the lies coming from New York State and the government, and the governor in particular? You know the answer. Yeah, the lies always come out, and they're caught in it. But they're ignoring it. China and Biden, big concern coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
She'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're working in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Joe Biden made a call yesterday, and the other evening, actually, and talked about it yesterday, to China. Talking to President Xi Jinping. Biden has yet to call the Israeli leader Netanyahu. Israel, our biggest supporter in the Middle East, and he's not even bothering to touch base with him yet. But he reached out to China. And he came away saying, we had a good discussion. We had a good discussion. And then he said, but we're not careful, China will eat our lunch. And yet when Trump had said something about the threat of China during the campaign in 19, Biden said, China eat our lunch? No way. Come on, man. And yet he stated yesterday, China will eat our lunch. So he's finally woke up to that issue. That doesn't scare you that he's that far behind in understanding the threat from China. Take a look at this presentation from China as to how that phone call went. There's an optimistic, as is reported in U.S. News and World Report, an optimistic, almost rosy assessment from the China view about the conversation with President Biden. Chinese state media touted the timing of the call, which came on the eve of the Lunar New Year, and the English Global Times pointed out this is widely interpreted as a gesture Biden showed respect for President Xi and China. That outlet is run by the Chinese Communist Party, not considered a direct mouthpiece for it, but you can bet nothing goes in it that doesn't get checked by Communist China. The editorial they did highlight focused on Premier Xi's deep personal experience with Biden. Because Biden did lead a series of American delegations to Beijing, one in 2011 when as VP he was scheduled to meet with the Chinese leader five different times. So they called Thursday between the China premier and President Biden lasted 2 hours. That's very rare for a session between leaders of the world's most consequential powers, according to this the World Report U.S. News story. Now, American readouts of the call claim that Biden challenged China on its recent military and human rights practices. And then later, the president acknowledging Beijing will eat our lunch on infrastructure spending if we don't catch up. But he was trying to be more friendly than he figured Donald Trump had been. Biden is kind of trying to act like he realized we need to deal with China, but he doesn't want to get heavy-handed. And Beijing, according again to this summary and opinion and U.S. News and World Report, is that Beijing appears to embrace the new tone Biden has set. In other words, just as we expected, they expect nothing more than Biden hitting them with a wet noodle. That does a lot of damage, doesn't it? Every gain that we made against China in the tariff wars and every other effort is on the board for play again. And Biden is already still fooling around with checkers, and Chinese are already playing chess. We're this close to worried about Iran with a nuclear weapon. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
2 days ago, just 2 days ago, the International Atomic Energy Agency told member states in a confidential report, according to the Wall Street Journal, that Iran had begun producing uranium metal, a material vital for nuclear weapons. In other words, it could be this close to having a nuclear weapon. Best expert we've got on this would come from the Center for Security Policy, the president and CEO, Fred Flights. Fred, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
So this story from the Wall Street Journal the other day, apparently referring to a confidential report that Iran has made that kind of advancement. What's your take?
You know, it's disturbing. I'm not really worried that this means that Iran has made a big leap towards making a nuclear weapon, but it's a step forward. They made a small amount of uranium metal. They need a significant amount more. Then they would have to form it into a sphere, which is fairly difficult. But we know that they have documents on how to do that, which they accidentally gave the IAEA a couple years ago. It is a step forward towards making an operational nuclear weapon. And I think it simply shows how weak this nuclear deal was. The substantial evidence of Iranian cheating ever since the deal was put into place. And I think the Iranians are trying to really twist the screws on Biden to come back into the deal and offer them more concessions.
And they could claim at this point that, well, because Trump pulled out of the deal, we said we were going to go ahead, so that's why we're doing it. That's one excuse. Does it fly?
It doesn't, because we know from documents Israel stole from the Iranians in 2018 that Iran was engaged in substantial covert nuclear weapons research that it did not stop and it did not declare to the IAEA. Basically, the nuclear weapons program continued in secret despite the nuclear deal.
Well, back in January of last year, a year ago, Iran apparently did, according to, again, the Wall Street Journal, and I trust your documentation on it, that it made one of the biggest steps yet to breach that 2015 deal, announcing it had begun enriching uranium at 20% purity. That was a red line apparently set by European powers that are still party to the accord. So they were breaking that while the European powers were still signed on to the deal.
It did do that, but and this is a little bit confusing. Uranium enrichment is nonlinear. Most of the time and effort to make nuclear fuel, either for a bomb or for a reactor, is from the 0% enriched to the 3 to 5% enriched level. The jump from 3 to 5% to 20% or to 90% is not that significant in time or energy. Most of the energy is to make reactor grade, which the Iranians were quite good at doing.
Well, the other storyline we've always gotten is we're not doing it to build nuclear weapons. We're doing it to bring our people out of the Stone Age. What have they done to help their people so far with this nuclear
mission? Well, that is really a great question. There is no economical or energy reason for Iran to enrich uranium. There's more than enough reactor fuel available in the open market. There's a glut that Iran could buy. It's ridiculously expensive and uneconomical for Iran to enrich its own uranium. The only reason it would do this, and this is Senator Lieberman's positions and Netanyahu's position, is to make nuclear bombs. No other reason.
Last Sunday, Joe Biden, President Biden, was on with CBS Nora O'Donnell. And there was an interview that actually hours before that, one of your colleagues wrote a piece that ended up in Newsweek, Caroline Glick, pointing out that hours before that, the Iranian leader said the Islamic Republic will only scale back illicit nuclear activities after Biden abrogates U.S. economic sanctions against the regime. So O'Donnell asked, are you going to comply with Khomeini's condition? Biden responded with a curt no, as she wrote her story, and then nodded after O'Donnell followed up by asking they have to end uranium enrichment first, which suggesting that we have a new policy. And yet later the White House came rushing out. No. We weren't issuing a major policy change with a nod of the head. I don't think they know what to do at this point. Your assessment?
I got really excited when Biden nodded his head. Because the only way for a real deal is for Iran to stop enriching uranium. But I said on Twitter, I'm sure they're going to roll this back. And they did. They walked it back. I hate to say this, Larry. I'm not sure Joe Biden always knows what's going on.
Yeah,
I think you know this from talking on your show, but
right.
I saw that interview, and basically the idea that we're going to let Iran keep enriching, that is a cardinal sellout position of the Democrats, and I knew Biden wasn't going to give it up.
Then the same article, again, this is your colleague Caroline Glick, who wrote a piece for the Newsweek, pointing out that before Biden's tough talk and his head nod, Biden and his team have been looking to have things both ways. In other words, they want to kind of say, we're going to help you, Iran, but we're also going to be firm against you. I don't see them being that firm. I do see them caving in and opening the sanctions.
During the campaign, Biden and his team were saying, well, Iran's going to have to come back into compliance with the agreement first before we join nuclear talks or drop sanctions. And you can see how that position is slowly being whittled away. I think we're going to eventually meet with the Iranians if they promise in the future to comply with the agreement. And then they won't. I think that's good.
That was my next question. And do we have have inspectors actually been able to get into these facilities, or they're still locked down?
The inspectors have only been able to get into declared facilities. When Israel uncovered undeclared facilities, it took years to get inspectors into some of them, and they still can't get into several.
Since you brought Israel up, yesterday or the other day, Biden spent around two hours, with the Chinese premier on the phone. He has yet to reach out to Netanyahu, who is our best friend in the Middle East, and obviously they have a concern about Iran moving forward. Where do you see this going?
I just think that was quite an insult to Israel, one of our closest allies. And, you know, Larry, I'd like to see a transcript of that phone call with Chinese President Xi. Biden says he was tough. He has to prove it. I don't believe it. I think this is 2 hours of typical diplomatic niceties where Biden made it clear to China that the pressure's coming off. It's going to be back to normal diplomacy, no more tariffs. Let's see the transcript.
Well, the Global Times that did the report, of course, that's controlled by the Communist Chinese Party, apparently was offering what they were considering an optimistic, rosy assessment that the two were got along just fine.
I think that's right. I don't doubt that Biden brought up Hong Kong and Taiwan and the Uyghur Muslims. But I think he was basically checking boxes. I think Biden probably spent most of the call talking about climate change and how China can work with us on that instead of these messy things like human rights in Hong Kong.
We have I know you saw this the other day, a former CIA officer wrote that a piece, and he said, I left the Democrat Party due to the second impeachment of President Trump, saying this is just creating more political divide. But you have spent decades dealing with intel at various levels, former CIA analyst, obviously the chief of staff executive secretary of the National Security Council currently. But your time as the national security position for 25 years with the CIA, Defense Intel Agency, Department of State, if the CIA officer is not just playing politics and saying he left because of that second impeachment, what is the – I guess the best way I could ask it is, what do you think is the mood and the attitude of others in the intel community at this point?
Well, this individual is Brian Dean Wright. I didn't know him at CIA, but I've met him in the Fox Green Room, and he's a Democrat.
Yes.
And he looked at the impeachment process and just thought it was an outrage, that it's unconstitutional. I hope your listeners get to watch the presentation by the president's lawyers today. It's been fabulous, on the hypocrisy that the Democratic floor managers gave yesterday. I regret to say I think most intelligence officers are fairly liberal, especially on the analysis side, and they're backing Biden. And I'm a little worried that politicization of intel, well, I'm very worried it's going to get worse under this administration.
And by that, you mean they're not going to give him full accurate assessment or find ways to give what they think would make things make him look better, right? How are they playing it, or both ways?
Well, I think they will write analysis that favors his policies. And that went on during the Obama administration. There were a few whistleblowers who came out. You may remember a defense analysis on Al-Qaeda. They were basically right. Intel analysts who pressured not to criticize Obama, Al-Qaeda policy. I think we're going to see similar problems.
All right, Fred, as always, we appreciate you spending time with us. And I just want a reassurance from you again that even though this nuclear program is making some advancements with Iran, they're still not as close as – well, not that we still don't need to be concerned, but they're not as close as maybe some of us might read in such a story.
They might be close to one bomb, but there's a lot that has to go on to get that bomb to work. So I wouldn't – some of these reports have been exaggerated.
All right. Fred, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Good to be here.
You bet. Fred Flights, President, CEO of the Center for Security Policy. I'm glad to get that kind of assessment, because when I read that 2 days ago, that's what they were saying, and that appeared in the Wall Street Journal, I thought, this is not good. Coming up, the divisiveness that exists in the nation, and it starts with political parties and goes beyond. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As individuals, I think most of us, nearly all of us, really like each other. There is, however, a palpable degree of contention on certain issues when certain issues come up. And I think one of the antidotes to that really is more debate and discussion. Neither party is well served when people from both parties just retreat to their respective party's corner.
Understood
and speak
on
only
that.
To their
it
party's
just, face. It seems like the tone is more personal now.
Why is that?
Yes, well, it certainly has become personal, and we've seen that with certain individuals. You mentioned AOC. She unfortunately made this about her. That's not helpful to anyone, and I think we can do better. The best way to do better is to cast more votes on more substantive policy issues. When you have people but fewer bills, rather see us passing bills than tweets.
Those are the words of Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, as he appeared on Fox, and they were asking about the relationship between members of Congress on the opposing sides. And I cannot go much farther without acknowledging his last remark, we need more bills and tweets. And yes, the king of the tweets over the last 4 years would be Donald Trump, no doubt about it. And things he put out on the tweets often were divisive as well. You can certainly step forward and blame him for some of the discourse exists right now, but not all of it. Not all of it, unless you want to stand with the Democrats and ignore what they've done, and not just over the last 4 years, but during the Obama administration. One of those who's swayed already, apparently, Nikki Haley. Trump appointed her as our ambassador to the UN. She is very strong in that position. She is now switching sides to an extent, calling out Trump for some of the things he did or did not do regarding the January 6th riot at the Capitol, which he's entitled to do. And a lot of people, as we have here on this program, made mention that Trump did not do everything he should or could have done that day, or at least appeared he should be doing. But it's not an impeachable offense when you go to using words like fight, we will fight for you. Because as you heard at the beginning of this hour, numerous Democrats, including Senator Schumer, have used words that would suggest danger to those on the other side. Did they mean it that way? Well, to an extent to make you fearful that you need to buckle down and do what they want, yeah, but for your life? And that's where AOC, as Senator Lee is saying, that Capitol Hill thing, she made it all personal, all about her. I was scared. I was frightened. I thought I was going to die. It was a near-death experience, and she wasn't even in the Capitol. As he said, we need to stop that kind of remarks, and on both sides. But the other side is not going to yield, even though they talk that they will. They're going to be nicer. They're not. They're the first ones to go out and attack. And if you catch them in it, then they will quickly apologize, say, my bad. You know, when Biden came into office last month, he said he would immediately fire any of his appointees, quote, no ifs, ands, or buts, if he ever learned they had treated a colleague with disrespect. A colleague. He didn't say if you treat the opposing party or members of the press, but if you treat a colleague with disrespect. Well, the White House Deputy Press Secretary, T.J. Ducklow, has been suspended for a week. He apparently made demeaning remarks toward a female reporter. Vanity Fair reporting that Ducklow made, quote, derogatory, misogynistic comments at Politico's Tara Palmieri when she asked about his romantic relationship with an Axios reporter. Sources said told the magazine that Ducklow, in an off-record call January 20, threatened to destroy Palmieri, claimed she only wanted to ask about that because of jealousy of an unidentified man in the past that wanted to F her. And, you know, it's just that kind of stuff. And Vanity Fair reports Duck always apologized for losing his temper. I hate to lose you, this soap opera, but basically it's all a bunch of noise about nothing. The only reason I'm bringing it forward is that Biden said he would immediately fire any of his employees. No ifs, ands, or buts. Ducklow's got suspended for a week without pay. And when he goes back, he will no longer do anything to help out with Politico. But he didn't get fired. He still remains a deputy press secretary. So the left is always going to tell you, here's how we will play the game going forward. But they will not. We go back to the beginning of this hour when we were playing that clip from Don Lemon Fruitcake. Did lies fall apart? The truth will win out every time. As we're seeing with the Andrew Cuomo nursing home story. But, of course, CNN ignored that story entirely yesterday. Nothing, nothing on it. Not one line. Well, in our next hour, we're going to get into it in a lot more detail. Nah, we've already done it. Skip it. Tell you what, let's focus on what is happening with the impeachment as the Trump defense steps forward. But again, I want to remind you, this is an effort also, and it's very successful so far, making the Democrats eat their own words. That's coming up the next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.